First of all, how are you doing from that attack you suffered last month?
I'm fine. Yeah, I was the week after the little bastards beat the fuck out of me, was pretty bad. But now it's nearly 4 or 5 weeks later. I'm fine. The ribs are all healed. The head is still working.
Well, we're glad to hear that. And now let's just get on with the album questions. Then, are you okay with that?
Cool.
Okay, so the band Slaney's release, Blood on the Black Robe, comes out in April. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this album?
There's a lot of concepts, I suppose, but the feeling of the album is something that I've wanted to do for some time. I wanted to go back to the more kind of extreme stuff that Cruel Con done in the very, very early days. I've looked at folk metal. Obviously, when we started, there was nobody doing extreme folk metal, and, you know, we had the whole genre to ourselves. In recent times, it's almost become kind of a funny joke, almost. There's so many bands with their funny drinking songs, and it's all happy. And hey, we've done it too. We've done ridiculous songs as well on previous albums. But I wanted to do a more serious, more aggressive folk metal album. A lot of folk music in Ireland, you know, there's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of sadness in folk music. It's not just happy drinking songs all the time. So you could hear on the Morrigan's Call that kind of crept in a little bit. We were moving towards a bit more extreme stuff. But when Karen left, that was like, you know, the catalyst. That was when we said, right, let's go and do what we've been planning. And that's what the album is. It's a dark folk metal album. You'd almost say a lot of it is black metal. It's a sadness on there as well, and the theme of the lyrics as well. There's a lot of aggression in the lyrics. We've always sang about Irish mythology, but I think there's three songs in total that are, you know, attacking the Christian church and organized religion more from a pagan viewpoint. But yeah, that pretty much sums up, you know, what we were feeling, what we were thinking behind the album.
And in terms of how long it took to, you know, create and everything, there's been a gap of 5 years between the albums. What happened in between this time?
It was just mainly personal. You know, it's probably mostly my fault that I went through failed relationships. I had to move houses and start new lives. And so when there's that kind of upheaval in your life, things like the band have to suffer. And in this case, they did. You know, when we had concerts coming up, we'd probably spend more time rehearsing the songs, you know, old songs for the concert, when we should have actually been working on new material. But luckily, everything has settled down now. We're all back to normal, and we say to everybody, there'll never be that huge gap again.
How pleased are you guys with the end result of this album now that you could hear the whole product?
I'm very pleased. Obviously, I mean, every musician is their own worst critic, and I hear the album, and I can hear a lot of, you know, problems, things I shouldn't have, you know, got onto it. But this is stuff that I hope nobody will ever notice. This is personal stuff. But overall, I'm absolutely delighted with it. We had a smaller budget than we've had before. We took less time to record than normal, and it was all good. You know, in the past albums, we just settled for really shit producers, crap, rubbish studios. With this one, we've done our research. We made a 3-song demo in the studio, and we were so happy with what Michael Richards, the producer, done. We went back and we done the album, and overall, I'm very, very pleased.
And how are you guys pleased with the deal with Candlelight to release the album?
So far, it's brilliant. Obviously, you know, we seem to do a lot of label hopping, and it's not entirely our own fault. We just seem to be a strange band. You know, we're always in a lot of trouble, or, you know, we recorded an album when we were on Black Lotus, and when we went to pay the studio, the label went bankrupt, and, you know, we were threatened with court. We just always find ourselves in crazy circumstances and situations. But with Candlelight, they're the biggest label we've been on, and certainly the most professional. And the support that they've given us, they, you know, as well as that, like, they know it's not exactly a gamble. They know Cruel Con are going to sell CDs. We've been around for so long. We have a lot of fans. So they didn't take too much of a risk in signing us. But so far everything is absolutely perfect. Let's wait till the album comes out, though.
And how do you find the scene now? Like you said, I mean, 5 years between albums, there's been all kinds of folk metal albums and different things. How do you feel that the scene is now and it's going to be able to handle this album?
I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, here I am in my 30s. I remember when I was a kid and I came up with this idea. It used to be fucking brilliant to mix folk music with metal. And we had the whole world to ourselves. Skyclad were doing it in England, but not to the extent that we were doing it. 17, 18 years later, there's so many folk metal bands. Like, what's going on? But no, I'm confident. We've brought out, I think with the Morrigan's Call, we brought the kind of Celtic metal probably as far as it could go. I thought we don't want to do that again. We made a lot of changes. We decided there'd be no happy songs, no really jaunty, folky SpongeBob SquarePants parts on the new album. So it's going to be, you know, the darker side of folk music and the more depressing side. So we've definitely got an original album. I don't know if there's anything like Blood on the Black Robe out there. Whether that's a good thing, time will tell.
And you personally, what are the new stuff that you actually enjoy? Or is there any bands that you're like, oh man, this is total crap? Or maybe you're like, oh, this is brilliant. Why didn't I come up with that?
I have to say, Elouette, when they first started, they were constantly, Kriegel was mailing me saying, hey, I have this idea for a band and I'd love your support. And I was, you know, I got many letters like this. I was like, yeah, I hope it works out for you. And then, fuck, they just skyrocketed. The amount of personal effort that they put into Elouette to become what they are now was huge. They made a lot of sacrifices, and fair play to them. I can't, you know, they're one of the folk metal bands out there that I do respect, that seem to really take it seriously. A good friend of mine plays in Ailstorm. They're the most ridiculous band I've ever heard in my life, but I think they're hilarious. And I'd love Gaz, the bass player, very good friends, and we're trying to, you know, get a record label to put us out on tour. It'll be just the craziest tour in history, I think.
And in terms of, you know, plans for touring and everything, we can't seem to find a lot of touring dates or any touring dates in your MySpace.
Yeah,
I
know.
Is there anything in the works? Yeah.
There will be. I know. See, the problem with Cruelcon is a lot of metal bands, and you're talking successful metal bands that you look at and say, well, that's a big band. If they're living off the money they're making from the band, they're probably living on the, you know, the most basic type of, you know, human existence type of money from the band. Luckily in Cruelcon, we've all got decent jobs, we've got careers, we have mortgages to pay, we have children. So because of that, we can't go on the road for 2 months. It's just impossible. We kind of have a balance between, you know, the real working life and doing Cruelcon, and it's a great balance. We get to do stuff that regular people don't do. But the reality is, any tours are based around our vacation in work, whatever days we have to take vacation, and that's always been a problem. Especially our bass player John Clossy, he's married with kids, so if he has 20 days he can take from work, you know, if he takes half of them for Cruelcon, it's always a bit of a problem in his personal life because he would want to go on vacation with his family. So that's the kind of problems that we face. But certainly weekends, we always play festivals. We take any offer we can because it doesn't affect our vacations and work. And we are hoping this year to at least, at the very minimum, do at least 2 tours, probably 10 days each. One will be in Europe, and the hope is that the other will be in North, Central, and South America. Whether it works, I don't know, but that's my dream. We play Eastern Europe a lot. We have a lot of fans there, and it's totally awesome to play there. But the main fan base for Cruelcon, as crazy as it sounds, seems to be in South America. We get the most outrageous amount of fan mail and emails from South America. It's bizarre. They just have a love of Celtic music and folk metal.
And I mean, and how do you see that the scene's changed now? Because I mean, yeah, we're talking about the touring, but now that kind of seems to be the main concern and support that labels need in order to, you know, keep releasing albums, since the album sales have dipped, not considerably,
yes,
in metal, but yeah, a little bit. So is there any things that the label was more concerned about in this respect?
They've never said it, and before they signed us, we did explain our situation. We said, look, we're not the most, we're not unemployed, you know, living off our music, we can't. So they knew this before they signed us, but obviously they want us to get out on tour. We've just come back from a mini tour of Ukraine last week, 2 weeks ago. Brilliant, had an absolutely amazing time, met loads of fans. But I remember asking the tour promoter, one of the promoters, can you take us, you know, will you bring us to a metal CD shop? And he said, oh, no, we don't have anything like that here. Nobody buys CDs, they just download. And I'm there kind of thinking, Jesus, you know. He said, actually, one thing that he did say, people will buy a CD to bring it to a concert to get autographs. I said, okay, well, at least there is some justification to playing these concerts over there. But yeah, you're dead right. One of the main things of touring is to promote the band, to get people to buy CDs. So we do have a bit of a commitment back to Candlelight to actually get out and promote the band, like take it seriously and not just drink loads of beer all the time.
And did you ever expect it when you were coming up with this concept? I mean, we remember getting that album back in 95 and being like, oh man, this is awesome. But were you ever concerned that people were going to be like, oh, what the fuck is this? And just toss it to the side?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we still get that in Ireland. In Ireland, we've never really had any kind of respect or any appreciation for what we've achieved. So even today, it's still the same in Ireland. As soon as we leave Ireland, we get a lot of respect with so many fans. But yeah, back in 1994 when we were doing that album, we didn't know what to think. We thought, this, people hate this or love it, but we knew it was original. And, you know, if you come up with something original and you're the first to do it, there's always going to be people out there that will like it. And we felt the same as well, because we broke up for a year in the mid, late 90s, and we got back together a little bit older. We'd done the Middle Kingdom album. So that was very different to Tooth and the Gael, but we even felt then that it was so obscure and bizarre. 1999, there still wasn't that kind of folk metal explosion, so the Middle Kingdom was also a very risky album, but that done fairly well, thankfully.
And for you personally, what is the limit between sounding like a soundtrack, basically, an actual metal band? Where do you think that you will draw the line between adding too much, you know, those folk elements, and keeping it still metal, you know?
Well, yeah, you're right. And I think when we've done the Morrigan's Call, which is an album I'm very proud of, I thought, you know, I was really, really happy with that. And you could hear the kind of extreme stuff starting to creep back into that album. But I remember listening to that just before we started writing Blood on the Black Robe, and I personally thought, well, that's as far as I want to bring Celtic metal, you know, as a genre. You know, people call this Celtic metal as well as folk metal. I said that, for me, personally, The Morrigan's Call is a very defining Celtic metal album. So when we've done Blood on the Black Robe, the folk kind of, it didn't take a step back, but it just kind of, it became, you know, the additional kind of stuff. We focused a lot more on the metal. There's a lot more guitar riffs on there. Folk, still folk sounding riffs, but yeah, I think The Morrigan's Call was as far as we wanted to go, and we stepped back a little bit with Blood on the Black Robe, as well as becoming a hell of a lot more extreme. We got a lot of black metal sound and stuff back onto that album as well.
And where do you see itself, the future of what else do you guys want to do in terms of the sound for later on?
Well, we're going to stick to this formula now. We're going to, you know, the more darker side of folk metal. Probably won't hear too many more jaunty, happy kind of stuff, but you know, we do whatever feels right. We're going to start writing pretty much straight away for the next album. And another thing that we do, not a lot of folk metal bands, we've a subtle amount of orchestral kind of parts. We probably bring a little bit more of that into the newer stuff as well, but yeah, the more extreme kind of road, that's where we're going to stay. I'm going to stay as the full-time vocalist. And we'll have a guest for live and so on to sing all the female parts.
And, I mean, in terms of all the instrumentation, how do you guys approach, you know, composing the songs?
Well, I'm probably the main songwriter, and you've probably seen on some of the albums I can play a lot of instruments, so it's never a problem. I never run out of ideas. With this one, Blood on the Black Robe, John Ryan, our fiddle player, he actually contributed a few parts as well, which is great for me, and that's the plan. I'll just pretty much come up with the same sort of stuff as I have in the past. John Ryan, John Fay, my brother, will help out, and yeah, that's what we'll do.
And in terms of the evolution over the years, how are you seeing that? You know, now you can just sit down at a computer and make this, all this sounds and all this, you have all this plugins and tools and things, versus before that you actually had to know the instruments. What is your opinion on, you know, people that do computer-based music that...
well, you know, I look, the last two albums we've done, we used a lot of that computer copying and pasting and all this kind of stuff. I think it's brilliant. It makes my life a hell of a lot easier. But, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know really where I stand on it. We could play our instruments. We could play the parts. So, you know, you want to get that level of perfection on an album. You can either play the part 20 times until you nail it, or you can play it once or twice and pick the best bit and copy and paste. We've done that on the new album on certain parts, and I'm not embarrassed about it.
And in terms of, you know, how would this sound live, where do you draw the line between something that sounds amazing on CD, but live it's like, what the hell is that?
That's always been a tough one, especially on some of our more elaborate kind of songs. But my personal opinion, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but my personal opinion is, if you want to hear an exact copy of the CD, just listen to the CD. If you want to see the guys playing it, you have to accept they can't. Like, I can't play the baron, the keyboard, the bouzouki, the mandolin, and the guitar at the same time. So there's going to be some sacrifice when we do play live. But we always put on a good show. We play as much of the folk parts. Another thing about folk music, it's layers of different instruments. So you can take a couple out when you're playing live, and it doesn't really impact the song. But certainly there's always been songs on albums where we look at each other and say, that will never be played live. It's just too orchestral, or there's too many things going on.
And if you had your pick of, like, you know, being able to do everything live, would you like to, like, at least do it once, you know, have a special performance with everything going on?
Yeah, that would be amazing. Absolutely. I mean, even on the new album, just talking about the electric guitar, there's some parts of the songs where there's eight different guitar tracks. There's harmonies, there's backing, there's all this kind of stuff. We're actually right now looking to get a second guitarist into the band as a full-time member. And kind of bizarrely, I haven't said this to anyone yet, but it might be Joe Farrell, our old drummer. Typical Cruachan bizarre kind of situation. Our drummer leaves and comes back on guitar. But we'll see what happens.
And, I mean, in terms of future plans, where do you see, I mean, how much more do you want to keep doing with the band now that, you know, like you guys mentioned, you have, you know, other real lives?
I tell you, I can't see. I watched the Anvil video recently. You know, the story of Anvil?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen myself in, like, 15 years. I could never give it up. It's my absolute passion. Even if it was just me, if I was the last man standing, I'd keep doing Cruachan until I die.
Old samples and stuff, just you?
Well, hey, I play drums, bass, everything. You never know what I could do. But, having said that, the most important part for me is also playing live. I love it. I love it more than any aspect of being in a band is actually playing live, meeting the fans. That's the best part.
And how do you see now that the market's grown? I mean, are you pleased with that, or that there's actually people that show up to see, you know, this type of metal versus before that it was just people randomly stumbling on it?
Well, this is all we've known, so we probably would never have seen that. When we started playing live, you know, we had our crowd come to us, and they knew who Cruachan was, and we had our album out in 95, so for new bands, you're probably right, there wouldn't have been much of a follow, but we've never seen a dip in attendances, crowd attendance or anything like that, but you're dead right. I mean, it's a huge, it's almost a genre to itself, death metal, black metal, folk metal is almost up there with those huge genres.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, are there, like, any closing remarks and things that you want to, you know, say to the people in North America that are going to be listening for this interview and are waiting for you guys to make your way over here?
Well, thanks for the support over the years. We've always got so many mails, like physical mails in the old days, and now emails in the modern days. Always asking us when we're going to play there, and every time I say, oh, we're working on it, we're working. I must be saying that for nearly 15 years, so for everybody that stuck with us, I promise we're working on it.
Okay, and in terms of no more 5-year gaps between albums?
Oh, definitely not. Never again. That's what I think I said to yourself, or probably the guy before. We've started writing the new stuff right now, so I don't know. I'd say the most would be two-year gaps between albums. We can manage that.